This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alrighty, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. It's okay, they'll come in. Alright, bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. How's everybody doing? Alhamdulillah, alright? Haven't melted yet, alhamdulillah. Just make it till October, inshallah. All right, so tonight we're going to be going through the next section of Imam al-Ghazali's advice. We only have a few left, actually. And that we covered last week, the sort of big picture sort of definitions he gave us of tawakkul, of ikhlas, riya', so these concepts of trusting in Allah, being sincere, and then hypocritically, you know, showing off. And then he gives the next advice he gives is really short, but it's very profound. Basically, this advice is kind of like what you don't want to hear. But in those moments, hearing what you don't want to hear is sometimes very helpful and very beneficial. It's kind of like a medicine that's sour or bitter. Like, you don't want to take it, but it helps. So he says, my dear son or my dear student, that the remainder of your questions have either been answered in my books, so seek the answers to them there, or they've been forbidden to answer. So he says, the remainder of your questions have been answered in my books, so seek answers to them there. Writing the answers to some of them is actually forbidden. You should act according to what you know, so that the matters that you were unaware of will be disclosed to you. It sounds very complex. Sounds really confusing. But what is he saying? The first lesson he gives is that, how many of you have ever had questions before? All right, what do you do when you have questions? You ask, okay? Good. So you have questions, you ask somebody. Now, the problem is, have you guys ever asked a question, or have you ever been asked a question that easily could have been solved by the person, like, Googling it? Not religious question, like, hey, what's the temperature today? And the person's holding their phone, you know, or like, hey, is it raining outside? And there's a window next to them. So asking questions is a virtuous thing. But that famous statement, there's no such thing as a bad question, is actually not true. There is actually such a thing as a bad question. The bad question is when the question was not thought out before asking. Okay, so what are some of the thoughts that we should have before we ask a question? The first thought that we should have is, and my mom used to say this, is this question like pertinent or relevant to anything, or is it simply just kind of like a question for the sake of asking it, right? Am I asking for the right reasons? There's actually a story in the Quran about not asking questions that don't need to be asked. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa alayhi salam and his people Bani Israel, when he gave them the charge of finding and sacrificing a calf, okay, a cow, the command was very general. It was open. And then Bani Israel did what they should not have done, and that is they started asking questions. And what's interesting is that when you look in the tafsir of this passage in Surah Al-Baqarah, they started asking about the color and the size and this and the eight, like all this stuff. And as they asked more questions, things became more what? Detailed and challenging, right? So the number one rule of asking questions is make sure that it's something that's actually relevant. Make sure that it's something that's, because when Allah Ta'ala gave a command to find a calf, right, find a baby cow or a cow of a certain age, that command is sufficient. Now, when you start asking more, what you can actually do is you can start to uncover things that was not relevant to you in the beginning, but now it's relevant because you've sort of dug that hole. So asking questions just for the sake of asking questions, sometimes we do that to kind of display our intelligence, right? We try to sort of like ask a question, but we're actually trying to show people how much we know. Those are things that are not good questions. Another sign of a bad question is when it's something that, again, not religiously, like, oh, you can look it up on Google, because we always recommend not doing that at all. Okay, But a question that the answer of which is not something that's going to like change, you know what I mean? Like your situation either or, right? So these are all sort of things that scholars talked about, like how to ask good questions. And Imam Ghazali gives the last one, which is like, you should also be a person who's who works hard enough to kind of like research it a little bit, like look it up a little bit. That doesn't mean that whatever answer you come to is the right answer. But there's a big difference when you ask a question having read up on some stuff versus having not seen anything. There's a huge difference, right? So being able to go through and look up some things and research and read is one of the skills that Imam al-Ghazali is telling his student that you have to have. The age that you're at now, how many of you are in college? Everybody, hopefully, it's all right, college or maybe a professional, maybe high school. The age you're at now, there is a huge lack in ability of being able to research and read and look up things on your own. And what that does, unfortunately, is that when you bump into something that challenges your belief, it like rattles a person to their core. So a person has never read about a certain topic in Islam, and they go on Reddit and a certain thing is brought to their attention, and they say like, oh man, this actually just happened to me. I was at a wedding last week, and this sister comes, this auntie comes up to me, and she's like, I need you to, you know, talk to my, is somebody not there at the door? I'm gonna grab the door for the next. I need you to talk to my son. You know, and I said, what's wrong? And she said that, you know, he read something from someone who was attacking Islam and they used this verse and this, right? And I said, which verse is it? And she brought up which verse. And I was like, oh, I was like, thank God, that one's easy, right? And the reason why, and she was kind of shocked that I said that. She was like, oh my God. I said, no, you read the tafsir of this verse by Imam Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir. You read this, you know, by Razi Ibn Zamakhshari. Like, you just read the tafsir of it and like, boom. You have your answer. It's very simple. There's a reason why, historically, for the past 1,400 years, no one has had a problem with this verse until what? Until we've entered the information age, where everybody feels like they have access to everything. And mastery and expertise is dead. Right? Everybody has an opinion. If you need to see an example of that, just go to any dinner party. Or everyone's talking about everything as if they're the masters of it. Right? There are very few things that we actually are qualified to speak about. But in this day and age, everyone kind of feels comfortable speaking about everything. And that leads to great, great crisis and internal tragedy when a person comes across them that they can't understand, right? So Imam al-Ghazali says, you need to start being able to and get comfortable reading and learning and looking so that when you do have a question, it's a good question. It's an informed question. It's a question where when you go and ask the person, you know, imagine going to a personal trainer. You want to get healthy. You want to get strong. You want to develop, you know, strength. And instead of being like, which one's the bicep? Right? You start pointing all over your body and they're like, oh God, right? Imagine being, instead of asking which one's the bicep or how do I make my arms bigger, right? Instead of asking that, you say, hey, you know, what exercises can I do that'll help make my triceps stronger, or that'll help make my delts or lats or whatever, right? It's clear that you've looked into this. You just don't know the answer, but you've kind of done enough research to maybe make it easier for that person to give you a better answer. And it's more productive. So Imam Ghazali, he says this. Now, the second part that he says is a little bit complex. He says that writing some of these answers down is forbidden. And he's not talking about like sinfully Sharia forbidden. He's saying that it shouldn't be done. Okay. What answers should not be written down? Maybe ones that you should know. Okay. Let's think a little bit. He says you should act according to what you know so that whatever you're not aware of will be made aware to you. Anyone here good at something? That's a really weird question to ask. Anyone here like have a hobby? You guys are, anyone here like good at baking or like something that's like takes a little bit of skill? Yeah. Okay, you cook for the family, okay? Anyone here, like, know how to cook? Yeah, what do you do? Skate? Okay, very good. Excellent. Anyone else got, a skill like that? Yeah. Draw? Okay, good. See, these are what I was going for. Everyone, it's so hard on yourself. Anyone here good at anything? You're like, no. My parents tell me I was good for nothing. No. Okay, so good. Cooking, right? Skating, drawing. Some people are, they have a very – anyone here have, a really specific subset of skill that they're good at? Like paper mache or something, you know what I mean? Okay. So some people are like, yeah, I'm really into I don't know, clay. Like I do clay pots or whatever, right? Cool. Or I ride horses, right? Some people have skills like that. Or I'm good at archery. Okay. Why am I asking this question? Can you write a book to teach someone how to do that stuff? Can you write it? Can you write down to teach someone how to draw? This is why you're here today. I can draw it and I can show them. Some things are learned only through experience. Even cooking, right? Like there are some recipes where you try it and you're like, it's not turning out the same. What's going on? Then you call the person, right? Whether it's your mom or your grandma or your uncle, whoever is good at it. Like they make that dish perfectly. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? And they say, you have to add this at this time. You're adding it in the wrong sequence. You have to wait till it boils. Wait till the onions turn golden brown. Wait till the butter turns brown. You know what I mean? Like there's certain little points of mastery that are oftentimes missed when they are documented by writing, but they are observed and they are taught best when what? When a person experiences it. That's why. What do they have? Anyone here a teacher going to education? No? Medicine? Okay. Yeah. Wow, that's a lot less than I thought. Okay. Or dental, pharmacy, any of that stuff? Okay. So whenever you go into any professional field, there's always an element of what? Internship, training. You can't become a doctor unless you go through residency. What is residency? Residency is basically following around expert doctors in that specific subset so that you can learn. But you just finished 4 years of medical school and 3 years of rotations. Why do you have to follow a doctor around for another 2 years or whatever it is? Because you did not catch everything in the books, right? Internships at a company. You did your finance degree. You did a business degree. Why do you have to go do an internship before you can get hired by some big company? Because they know you don't learn everything in a classroom. Right? It's the same with faith. It's the same with Islam. What's a good example of that? You tell me. What's an example of something in Islam that you cannot explain to someone verbally? They have to experience it. Hajj. Very good, right? How many of us have done Hajj? Okay, so let's do something outside of that because let's do something that we've all experienced.
Fasting.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. I always go Ramadan. Fasting on paper sounds like torture. Doesn't it? On paper. I'm not being offensive. I'm saying on paper, if you had to write it down, there's no title, no psalm, siyam, none of that. It just says, do this. Wake up before the sun, before dawn, okay? Wake up, eat and drink, and don't eat again till sunset. Best month of your life. People would think you're crazy, right? But what do you know about Ramadan? What do you feel during the month of Ramadan? I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy. But what do you feel? Okay, good. You feel much more consistently and much more constantly connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Which is a good feeling. What else? What's that? Who's talking? Okay, you? Sorry. Yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay. I heard you. It just looked like a bunch of people. And there was just a voice coming out of nowhere. Okay. I want to make sure I made eye contact. Companionship. Why? Because everyone's doing it together. That's something that you can't explain. You know, what else? Very good. Yeah. You're a lot more aware and prepared and vigilant. Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Okay? Like when you're showering, you don't open your mouth. You're like, people ask me, can I go swimming when I'm fasting? I'm like, you can. They're like, why do you say it like that? I'm like, you can, dot, dot, dot. They're like, or? I said, hey, look, if you accidentally swallow water, your fast is broken because you put yourself in a giant thing of water, right? You're like, oh, no, I didn't mean it. It's like, okay, well, it's probably going to happen, right? So, again, you're hyper-vigilant, hyper-aware. You make decisions based on the fact that this month is different, special. So, Muslims, we have, and we know, you know, have you guys been to like a fundraiser that's been really powerful, really inspiring? They're raising funds for some sort of crisis or tragedy or big need, and you've been there and you've seen people just give more money than you ever thought imaginable, like possible. I'll never forget, man, I was in California, and they were raising funds for Yemen. And I saw they were like 10,000 away from their goal. I think they had a goal. They were $10,000 away from their goal. So they were like, let's do this, let's close it, whatever. And they just hit this bump. They hit this lull. Like no one was doing it. Everyone had done it, but they just hit this bump. It was like 10 or 20. I forget exactly how much. So I, from the corner of the room, it was a big hall, but from the corner of the room, I saw this lady. She stands up. She raises her hand. Okay. And she stands up. And, you know, mashallah, I was like very emotional. And like, it was like, you know, wow, we reached our goal. Alhamdulillah, takbir. Everyone was very happy. It was like, you know, alhamdulillah. And she's crying. The lady's crying. So the sheikh, his name is Sheikh Ala'addin, he's on the stage and he sees her crying. He says, sister, is everything okay? You know, and she says, I don't know where this money's going to come from. I don't have it. So he goes to her and he says, this is in front of everybody. He says, why did you pledge then? You're pledging $10,000, $20,000. I don't know where it's gonna come from. And she said, when I see the videos and when I see the pictures of these kids, you know, starving and dying, and she goes, I can't leave this room without doing something. And she goes, so I raise my hand and I just believe that Allah is going to take care of this. And everyone just starts very emotional. Everyone's crying. Like, subhanAllah, like she was so strong. And the sheikh was like, sheikh was getting choked up. You know what happened next? The sheikh's like, I need 20 people right now, or 10 or whatever it was. She didn't know where the money was coming from. She just raised her hand. We know where the money's coming from. The sheikh said, I need 10 of y'all to commit $1,000 right now and cover her pledge. Because she had no money, but she just did it. She's like, Allah will give it some way. So the sheikh said, it's somewhere in this room. You know what I mean? And within like half a second, not just 10, way more hands shot up. Because everyone was moved by that. Now you try to explain charity to somebody. What is charity? You're like, well, it's when people give for the betterment of others. They feel a sense of, you know, whatever. It's like, no, you can't explain what just happened. You can't explain. You had to what? Be there, as they say. All right? So we accept this in a lot of other experiences. We accept this in like, you know, try to explain what's the best food you've ever had in your life. Anyone here ever had a Pakistani mango before? Right? Okay. What's the sweetest mango you've ever had in your life? What's the best bite of food you've ever had in your life? Now try to explain that. It's not going to happen. You have to have been there. You have to have tried it. And if you try to take that food and drive it home or fly on it with a plane, and the person sitting in and they're biting it, they're like, wow, it's good. You're like, it's not the same. You know what I mean? You had to have been there. You have to have it fresh, right? Don't you hear people say that? You're like, what am I supposed to do? You know? But what are they telling you? They're saying what? Experience can never be replaced. Can't be. Imam Ghazali said the same thing. He said, you're asking me about how do I find sweetness in salah? Right? People ask this question a lot. How do I find sweetness in my prayer? And if I don't pray, how am I going to find this answer hypothetically? You know what I mean? Like, the way you find sweetness in prayer is by praying. And that's where you discover it, right? How do I get motivated to give sadaqah? Start giving charity. Start doing it, right? How do I be better in this? Start doing it. Why? Because all of the books that I could write and all of the answers I can give and every single word that I use, it will never do justice to you doing it. And sometimes, subhanAllah, you always have to remember this. Sometimes the brain understands and the heart follows. okay? This is very common for us. What do I mean by that? The brain understands and then the heart follows. This is kind of the normal way that we operate in life, which is what? Yeah, you have to understand something before you do it. The brain understands and then the heart follows, right? But you know what? Sometimes the heart does something and then the brain understands. And the heart is the one that has to do it first. The brain is stuck, but the heart does it and you're like, okay, right? All right, next one. It's kind of connected to this. He says, my dear student, after this day, he says, question me not. Do not ask me any questions except by the language of reflection and reason. Meaning what? Think about your questions before you ask them, right? Give me something reflected. He said, Allah says in the Quran that had they waited patiently until you came forth to them, it would have been better for them. This is an ayah from Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to some of these people that arrived in Medina very late at night or late in the evening, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. They were traveling to Medina to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to spend time with him. And they arrived a little bit later than normal, and they started banging on his door, and they started calling out to him, oh, we're here, Ya Rasulullah, we're here, right? And they got there way too late. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he obviously is super kind. His character is unmatched. So he goes and he meets them. Now, what does Allah do? Allah actually gives and dedicates an entire 3/4 of a page of the Quran to addressing this. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, right? It's the beginning of Surah. He says what? If you were patient with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they had waited patiently until you, O Messenger of Allah, came forth, it would have been better for them. So this is addressing again that whole what? Entitlement and asking questions. Like, I ask a question, I need an answer now. Where's my answer? Where's my answer? Where's my answer, right? There's a really funny story about this that it's actually, you know, it's kind of sad as well, but it's kind of funny. There was a person who came all the way from Morocco, which is Maghrib, which is on the western side of Africa, North Africa, and he went to Medina to visit Imam Malik, who's this great scholar, and he asked Imam Malik a list of like 40 or 50 questions that he brought from his people. Okay, and Imam Malik basically answered all of them except for a few. So he asked him question after question after question. He traveled across, what, 5 countries on the top of North Africa, then traveled across the Arabian, into the Gulf, across the Arabian Peninsula into the Gulf, and he goes to Medina and he asks Imam Malik these questions. Imam Malik says, La adri, la adri. Very famously, he says, like, for basically 49 out of the 50 questions, I don't know. I don't know. So the guy gets really upset and he says, what do you mean you don't know? You're Imam Malik. You're like the smartest person in the Ummah. You have to know these questions. And Imam Malik, he looks at the guy and he says, I don't know. You're asking me these questions. I don't have the answer for you. So then the guy gets frustrated and he says, what is everybody going to say when I go back to my people and I tell them that I traveled all this way and Imam Malik said, I don't know. And Imam Malik, he told the guy, you should tell them. Malik said he didn't know. You should just say it, right? Because again, this is like he's trying to guilt him into an answer, right? And this is a great story because it teaches us that sometimes there's a little bit of like entitlement with asking questions, that we should all be a little bit careful. So then the guy was a little bit sorry. He felt bad. So Imam Malik felt bad. So he said, look, come back to me tomorrow. I'll see if I can answer. Maybe I can do some research and come up with some answers for you. The guy said, fine. So he comes back the next day and he goes, what do you have for me? Imam Malik says, I don't know. I don't have any answers. I'm sorry. And so the guy says, He looks at Imam Malik, he says, Imam Malik, he goes, this is all very light stuff, man. This is like light stuff. Like, you should be able to answer this like this, you know? And Imam Malik, when he hears this, he starts to cry. And why is he crying? And he said to the guy, I'm crying because you just said something that's so wrong. you basically told me that there's something light. Like, these are easy questions. He said that, did you not hear Allah in the Quran when he described this Quran? Inna sanunqi alayka qawlan thaqila. He said Allah described the Quran as being heavy. It's got some weight to it. It's not light. We don't just make up stuff on the go, right? So the next time that we ask anybody a question and that question has, you know, some weight to it, don't expect an answer quickly. It's part of that humility as well. And that's what he's saying. He says that being patient is something that's really, really important. He says, accept the advice of Al-Khidr. Al-Khidr was the wise individual, the wise person that was the teacher of Prophet Musa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Khidr there to teach Musa. When he said, ask me no questions about anything until I myself speak to you concerning it. This is something, again, that we're not used to. Because in the Western part of the world, we have a lot of entitlement. You guys know what I mean by that word, by the way? Entitlement, what do I mean by that? It's my right. Yeah, I deserve this. I'm a paying customer. I need to talk to your manager, right? We all have a little bit of Karen in us, okay? When it comes to life, we all have that little bit of, let me talk to the manager, okay? And that's fine when you're at Target, I guess, or like when they, you know, at Chipotle, when they put, you know, I don't know, whatever, something wrong in your order, I guess. I don't know, not my style always. Last night we ordered, Safi was at my house, we ordered food and they put, I ordered queso and they put pork in it. And I was like, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And Safi's like, no, maybe it's fried onions. He's like, check it. I was like, that's definitely not fried onions, my friend. I was like, good try though. Queso is so good, you just don't want to miss out on it. Anyways, we threw it away. Jihad, fi sabilillah, we threw it away, right? Spiked it in the garbage can. So what is that? That you call the restaurant, you say you made a mistake, that's fine. But you don't have this when it comes to people that you consider like someone that can guide you and teach you in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? There's a certain level of respect and reverence. Okay? What other people in our life do we have respect and reverence for? Parents. So now imagine asking your parents a question. Would you ever be like, come on, I asked you, why didn't you do it? You know what I mean? We laugh because otherwise, if we don't laugh, we'd cry because we're afraid of what the response might be, right? You never go to your parents, you're like, hey, can you get me, I'm doing FAFSA, can you get me your taxes from last year? They're like, yeah, I'll do it. You're like, when? Could you imagine? You and me doing FAFSA, you'd be actually at the coroner's office. They'd be, you know, you'd be playing your janazah. Okay, so when it comes to like teachers and like scholars, again, we're not like hyper venerating them, prophets, we're not worthy, it's not like that, right? Because no one deserves that except Allah. But when you respect knowledge, you respect the one who carries it. If I need something from you, I'm not going to rush you because I'm the one who needs something from you. You know what I mean? If there's a friend of mine who's a doctor, pediatrician, and my kid's sick, and I want their opinion, and I text them and say, hey, do you mind calling me when you get a chance? And they say, yeah, I'll call you after work. After work comes 5, 6, 7, 8 p.m., they don't call. I'm not like, wow. Don't make promises you can't keep. No. What do? You gently say, I know you must be super busy. I'm really sorry. I know it's a weeknight. You're with your family. If you have just 5 minutes, I would really appreciate a phone call. The way even we use language matters so much in situations, and it reveals a lot about what's in here. You know what I mean? So he says that. And then he says, and do not be in a hurry to reach the time when it will be disclosed to you. Allah exalted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I will show you my signs and do not be in a hurry, okay? So do not ask me before the time is right. Be sure that you will not reach a certain position except by traveling towards it. Okay, this is deep, all right? I need you guys to get your floaties on. How many of you have at some point in your life not been able to understand something? Okay. Thank you, the three humble people in this room. Everyone else is like, nope. Genius. Okay. Yeah, dude, it happens. Okay. And if you're having trouble thinking of something, just dial the years back a few years. Anyone here like didn't understand something like when you were 12 or 15 and now you get it? What's an example of that? Huh? Driving. Okay. You're like, how does that work? What do they do? Right. And then you realize there's pedals down there. You're like, wow. Okay. What else? Money. What about money? Oh, bills. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Some college students still don't understand bills. No, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah. What do you mean by that? Yeah. Bills. I remember first time I got a car, I was like, I moved out, got my car. And then they were like, where's your insurance? I was like, what's that? They're like, you have to have insurance to drive a car. I was like, why? Allah insured this. It's insured by God. And they were like, no. Like, you need, and they explained it. I was like, oh my God. Right. Dude, there's a lot out there that you don't understand. And you don't just deny it because you don't get it. You know what I mean? If you don't understand, you're not like, no, it doesn't exist. You're like, no, I guarantee you it exists. You're like, no, I don't get it, so it doesn't exist. But with religion, we do that. Why does this ayah say this? Why does the hadith say this? It's like, well, let me explain it to you. I don't get it. It must not be right. He uses a very beautiful word here, ripen. You guys ever had a green banana before? It's pretty gross, right? It's like the worst experience I think any human can go through is eating a ripe banana before it's ripe. It's really bad. It's very bad. Like, it's painful. Okay? And subhanAllah, apologies, by the way. I don't know if any of you like green bananas, but like, it's pretty bad, right? What happens? You just give that same fruit, that same piece of fruit, a little bit of time, and it goes from being something that's very, very difficult to even take a small bite of to being extremely sweet and very delicious, okay? But what's the difference? Did the fruit change? No, it just had time. That avocado was like cement. It was solid as a rock. You just gave it a little bit of time, and all of a sudden it changes. So what's the difference with the human heart? And our mind, our intellect. You're learning something, you're trying to understand, and it's a big deal. He says at the end, you don't get somewhere except by traveling. If you step on a plane because you're flying to LA, or you're going to New York City, or you get in a car and you're driving to Austin, you're not at Austin until you're at Austin. You know what I mean? So when you're on a spiritual journey to Allah on the straight path, and you want to get closer to Allah, sometimes the journey, it's not as clear when you're on it as it is when you arrive at your destination. Now, some things Allah Ta'ala tells us clearly why we do it. Why do we fast? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah tells us, so you gain taqwa. Why do you pray? فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. To remember Allah. Why do you give sadaqah? Because it's purification of wealth. But there are some things that we don't understand why. Why five prayers a day, guys? Why not six? Why not 10? Why not one? People are like, oh, it's not? I'm sorry. Why not just one? Like one prayer at the end of the day, just kind of like gather all your thoughts, sit at the end, pray, have a nice, why not? Why only fast 1 month a year? Ramadan is so special. Why didn't Allah give us 2 months? There's so many questions. The why? The reality is, as human beings, we have to be comfortable, just like Imam Malik was comfortable, saying, I don't know. And it's not a sign of weakness. In fact, if you say, I don't know, it's actually a sign of strength. Because the one who doesn't know is not weak. If they know they don't know, they only become weak if they think they know. If a small chihuahua, you guys ever seen like a dog, small chihuahua? I know Muslims are afraid of dogs, but these are okay. If you see a small chihuahua walking in a forest And all of a sudden it comes upon a pack of wolves. And that chihuahua runs away. What do you say about that dog? Smart dog. That's what you say, right? Smart. That's a smart animal right there. Okay. One time my cat brought a mouse inside, caught a mouse in the backyard. And the mouse is probably the least intelligent creature I've ever seen in my life. Because my cat is like fat and slow. And the mouse, instead of running away, I have a picture of it actually, or video. The mouse stood up on its hind legs, and it looked like it was going to like square up. It like literally like stood up and looked at the cat's face. And it almost caught my cat by surprise. My cat was like, it shouldn't be this easy. So he like pawed around with it a little bit, whatever. That's not a very smart thing to do, right? Like, do you not know what you are and what this thing is? Do you not know that you're like this and this cat's teeth are about the size of your face? So why do we attribute intelligence to the dog that ran away and we attribute like lack of intelligence to that? Because the mouse didn't know when to say, I don't know. Tried to fight that big animal. Now, if the chihuahua ran into the wolves and tried to fight, we'd be like, that's one dumb dog. There's no way they're coming out of that. The examples are humorous, but now translate it to us, right? Trying to navigate this life as if we know everything is one of the first signs of lack of intelligence. A smart person knows what they know, and they know what they don't know. And they're comfortable and confident saying, I don't know, when they don't know. That's what Imam Ghazali is saying here. And then once you reach that stage and you give yourself a little time and you put yourself in the right environments and start reading the right things and start reflecting in the right way and having the right teacher, then all of a sudden that ripening happens, that maturation process occurs, and the very thing that you did not understand, you understand it. It's as clear as day. It's as clear as anything you've ever seen, right? But nothing changed except time. So Imam Ghazali teaches us this. Now, how do we act on this? Well, the hard part is when you don't know something, it's really difficult to be patient, right? But you have to force yourself to be patient in that moment. If you don't know something, if you don't understand something, if it's not clicking, it's like math class, right? Just be patient. Eventually you'll wake up the next day or the next week or the next month, and for some reason, somehow, it will just click. It'll make sense, right? Anyone have any questions? I know that we just talked about questions, but yeah, go ahead.
I have one question that I've always been having. It's like in the corporate world or like where we work, or anything, mm-hmm. it's always like you should know everything.
Yes.
And every training I go for, or I mean, mock interviews, and it's like you have to know everything.
Yeah.
It's like you just stretch between the worldly thing and this knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a big issue.
It's very difficult. You know, I used to work at this. I used to work at this company. We used to sell computers named after a fruit. So, and they actually taught us something really cool. It was the first time I ever saw it, because you mentioned corporate life. It was the first time I ever saw it in like the non-Islamic tradition, right? Because the Islamic tradition, you learn la adri, you know, junnat al alim or nisf al ilm. They say it's the shield or the protection of the scholar. It's half of knowledge, saying I don't know, right? So we learned this like Islamically from when we were kids. Say you don't know, say you don't know. But you're right. In like the corporate world or in like the academic world, you know, your professor is going to ask you a question. You're like, I don't know. And they're not going to be like, good job. Like, you know what I mean? Mashallah, mashallah. They're not going to say that, okay? So how do you handle this? So my manager, when I used to work at that store, he said something really powerful. He's like, you know, you're not going to know everything. A customer is going to ask you a question. You're not going to know how to answer it. And he said, worse than not knowing is making something up. So what he said, and this is actually really cool, is he said that it's very important for a person to say, I don't know, but I'll find out. I don't know. Or you can even say, I don't know, let's find out. you know, because you want to include the person with you. And I've transferred that skill, or at least tried to like every other point of my life. Even having kids, you know, Musa asks questions I don't know the answer to. You know, why do scorpions have this? I'm like, I don't know. And then now we have Google at home. So he's like, hey, Google. And he starts yelling at Google, asking Google questions. Even Google doesn't know. It's not Allah, it's just Google. So I've been able to teach, hopefully, my son and others this idea that, you know what, it's okay not knowing. What the right thing is, once you realize you don't know, is saying, now my responsibility is to go find out. Try that, you know, in your professional life or even in your personal life. If you don't know something, saying I don't know is like the greatest stress reliever ever, because you feel this immense pressure upon you to know everything. People ask you and you're like, I don't, you know, and you try to sort of like navigate through it instead of saying, you know what, I don't know. Let me find that out. Next time we talk, I'll hopefully have an answer for you, right? And it's the beauty and the power of being humble that gives you that sense of comfort. So good question. Yeah, it's tough, subhanAllah. Anyone else? Any other questions on this? Okay. All righty. We'll end here, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. We have an event. It's on Saturday, right, Savi? We'll talk, inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll be next week, inshallah, next week. So I don't know if you guys know, but we bought a new space for Roots and Qadam. So we're in the process of, like, you know, building it out and renovating all that kind of stuff. So we've been wanting to be able to have, like, some events there, indoor, outdoor, because it's a nice piece of land. It's in Carrollton. But the city of Carrollton, we've had to wait for a little bit because they have to obviously give us permission to do stuff on it to make sure that we're not like breaking any laws or stuff. So we just got permission today that we can start to do stuff like outdoors. So we can start to have, like, you know, little fireside chats, you know, some other stuff there. There's some nice grassy areas there that we can go and gather on, inshallah. So keep an eye on the Instagram, on the Roots Instagram, inshallah. We'll be announcing some more events that we can have there. And we'd love to see everyone out there, inshallah. Okay. All right. Barakallahu feekum. We have refreshments and snacks outside. We'll serve them. And then for those of you who want to stay for Maghrib, it's just 10 minutes. But for those of you who need to head out, then you can go and head out. Okay? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.